Okay, we're beginning here, six lines down on the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara has a Lishnach Rina, another version of Shmuel's statement with regards to which women have to wait 3 months before they're able to either remarry or marry for the first time. Lishnach Rina Amri Lo. There are others that have this alternative language, which is Amar Shmuel, Kulan Srichot Lamtin Shlosha Chodeshim. Everybody has to wait the 3 months. Chutz Migioret Umeshuchreret Gidola. With the exception of a Giyoret and a Shifra that has been freed, who is a Gdola. Aval Ktana, Bat Yisrael, Eina Tzarecha Lahamtim Gimel Chodoshim. A youngster, a minor, that is, a Bat Yisrael, would not have to wait 3 Chodoshim. And now, the conclusion from Shmuel's statement would be, first of all, with regards to a Shifra Kananit and a Giyoret that are Gdola, they do not require the Hamtana of 3 months. A Gdola Bat Yisrael would require that waiting of 3 months. And then a Ktana Bat Yisrael, Eina Tzricha Lamtin, a youngster, a minor, that is, a Bat Yisrael would not have to wait, Gimel Chodoshim, and so too with a Giyoret Meshuchreret, that is, a minor would not have to wait, according to this Lashon of Shmuel. Mar says, B'mai, when we're talking about this Ktana Bat Yisrael that doesn't have to wait, what is this circumstance? If she annulled her marriage, Hamar Shmuel Chada Zimna. Shmuel already told us that she doesn't have to wait. Ibiget, Hamar Gmar Shmuel Dubai. And if she is divorced through a get, Shmuel already told us that she does require the waiting of 3 months. Damar Shmuel, Miana Bo, Eina Tzricha Lamtin Shlosha Chodeshim. If she annulled the marriage through Miyun, then she does not have to wait the 3 months. Natan La Get, Tzricha Lamtin Shlosha Chodeshim. If she does it through a get, then she has to wait 3 months. Mar says, Ella Biznut. We're talking about a case of Znut, which is an extramarital issue. Viznut biktana lo shchiach. And Znut by iktana is not very commonplace. And since it's not commonplace, the Rabbanim were not gluzer in that case to wait the 3 month period. So yes, eno hanami, if it was with a get, then we would require to wait 3 months. If it was through Mion that she annulled her marriage, she wouldn't have to wait 3 months. Here's a case of anusau mifuta. This girl who has an issue of znut, that issue of znut, we don't make her wait 3 months because it's not a commonplace occurrence that a ktana would be mizana. And since it's not a commonplace occurrence, there's no reason to be gozer to wait the 3 months in those instances because we're just trying to determine or be certain that the baby that is born here is not the mamzer versus a zera kasher. But in the case of igdola, there is a problem of znut, and znut is more common. There they were gozer. So if a woman was mizana, then we do force her to wait 3 months, and that's true also by an anusau mifuta. Gioret umeshuchreret tishchiach behuznot igzor. So wait a minute. Gioret umeshuchreret, who do have a commonplace issue of znot, I mean, that's one of the character traits we talked about yesterday, that they definitely are participating in masei znot. So then why don't we gozer by them? And as Tosafot points out, this is not Atu Bat Yisrael. This is they themselves. It should be strong enough reason to be gozer by them. Hudamar ki Rabbi Yossi, because Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yossi. Now, how much Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yossi is subject to a major, major machloket Rishonim. I'll point out how Rashi holds, and then we'll try to note some of the other Rishonim. Titania, Hagioret v'shvuya v'shivcha shenivdu v'shenitgayru v'shenishtachru. So you have a case here of 3 different women. One is a woman who's converting, one is a woman who's held in captivity, and a woman who is a maidservant. In the case where she was in captivity, she was redeemed. She nitgayru, or she converted from being a non-Jewish woman, or she nishtacharu, or it was a maidservant who was freed. Srichot amtin gimel chodoshim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says she has to wait the 3 month waiting period. Rabbi Yossi matir le'areis v'l'nesei miyad. Rabbi Yossi says they can marry immediately. Amar Rabba, my time at Rabbi Yossi. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yossi's position? It makes a lot of sense to wait the 3 months here. If we're worried about znut, then in these cases, why wouldn't you wait over here? Kasavar isha mizana mishameshet b'moch. Because he believes that a woman who is intentionally being mizana and having these extramarital affairs, they will do it with some sort of contraception, kadesh lo titaber, because she does not want to get pregnant. Therefore, she plans ahead of time in order to prevent the eventuality of pregnancy. That makes sense when you're talking about a convert. Since she intends to convert, she protects herself, meaning she wants to separate between the Zera Kodesh and the Zera that would be conceived before she converts. Therefore, she makes sure not to become impregnated in that period of time. So there she has a view to the future. She knows that she's going to convert, and therefore she makes sure that she uses some form of contraception in order to prevent the pregnancy, which would cause a problem of the decision about whether this baby was conceived b'kedusha or not. Shvuya v'shivcha. Now, when you're talking about a woman who's in captivity, or a shivcha who doesn't have control over their own release, meaning that she doesn't know when they're going to be freed, she doesn't know when she's going to be released over there, what are you going to say? The shami mimarayu. They heard from their masters, or they heard from their captors, that they were going to be freed, and therefore mintara nafshayu. Therefore, they protect themselves, and they use some form of contraception. Ella, there still is an issue, which is yotzeit b'shein v'ayin. In a case of a shivcha kananit, who goes free based on the Torah law, that if shivcha kananit, if a eye or a tooth is knocked out, then they gain their freedom, that's an eventuality that they can't plan for. That's something that is on the spur of the moment. So what's the story there? How are you going to have contraception or protection in that case? Do you want to say in any case where it happens memela, meaning that we don't have advance notice of this, that Rabbi Yossi would agree to Rabbi Huda's position that she should wait 3 months. That a woman who is raped or seduced has to wait 3 months. So this is a case where she had no preparation coming into this. She doesn't have any anticipation of it. And therefore, she can't be using contraception to protect against this. So Rabbi Huda says, wait 3 months. Rabbi Yossi, matir, they are raised when they say miyad. Even in that instance, Rabbi Yossi says it's mutar miyad. Elam Rabbi. Isha mizana mitapechet shalot titaber. Abaye says that a woman who is mizana has these extramarital affairs, mitapechet turns over shalot titaber. She ensures that after the bia, she performs this act of turning over, which will discharge the semen so that it doesn't impregnate her, leaving aside the efficacy of this protocol. But assuming that works, when she turns over, she can prevent herself from becoming impregnated. So this is the after-the-fact solution to the problem. What about Rabbi Huda's position who says they do have to wait? This is pretty compelling reason of Rabbi Yossi. If you can create the contraception after the fact, nobody wants to become impregnated from these situations. And therefore, why don't Rabbi Huda say the same thing? Says we are we worry about the fact that she didn't do this really well or really properly. And that's what Rashi describes over here. Af yotza b'shein v'ayin, nami leka hashta l'mifrach. They came into hipoch kalu. It's very easy to turn over after the bia to stop the impregnation. Vein bo torach mitapechari. The chol isha mizana, eino rotza l'taber. No woman who has any extramarital affair wants to become impregnated from that affair, and therefore they will take out the time or make the effort to ensure that that's the case. Now, understanding Shmuel's position over here. First of all, we have a machloket between Rabba and Abaye, the methodology of contraception that's being used over here, that would actually result in somewhat of a difference in the end, which is, if you look in the Tosfot Yeshanim over here, Tosfot Yeshanim says in the end, v'yotze b'shem v'ayin b'meile, modi Rabbi Yossi de tzricha l'amtin, that in the end, Rabbi Yossi agrees that b'shem v'ayin, you would have to wait, because by the case of a shivcha kananit, she has no incentive not to become impregnated. She's not being mizanah, she's not having an extramarital affair necessarily, and therefore she has no reason not to become impregnated at that point in time. Therefore, she won't make the efforts to stop the impregnation. And then, in the end, it will turn out that Rabbi Yossi will say that, by onusa umifuta, there we will say that she doesn't have to wait because she'll make all the efforts to stop the impregnation. But in cases where we don't have that, like by shivcha kananit, then even Rabbi Yossi would agree that you have to wait the 3 months because she had no disincentive from becoming impregnated prior to that point in time, and she wouldn't make the effort to engage in this practice that would cause some sort of contraception or stopping of the pregnancy after the fact. Whereas there are others like the Chazon Ish who say that the difference between the position of Rabba and Abaye has to do with the question of whether a woman out of wedlock wants to become impregnated. And Abaye says the answer is no. No woman outside of wedlock wants to become impregnated, irrespective of whether they are a Shifcha Kananit or whether they are an Usa Mifuta. And therefore, they all will take on this practice in order to ensure that they do not become impregnated. And the din would be the same across the board, according to Rabbi Yossi, that none of them would have to wait the 3 month waiting period before they got married. Now, Rashi over here makes a comment about this position of Shmuel vis-a-vis Rabbi Yossi. The main sugya with regards to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda's argument is later on in the Masechta, but over here, Shmuel's commenting, which seemingly in the position of Rabbi Yossi, how much of the position of Rabbi Yossi does he subscribe to? So Rashi says over here, Miu, B'Israelit Gazar Shmuel Znut Atu Nisuin. By Israelit Huzegdola, he was Gozer by Znut Atu Nisuin Shemitah Beret. Velo Sovar Ki Rabbi Yossi Dolo Gazar Behu. He does not hold like Rabbi Yossi, who is not Gozer in that case. Based on what we saw later on by Abaye, Rabbi Yossi is not Gozer in the case of Onusa and Mifuta. On the other hand, for the case of Znut, Shmuel is Gozer, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi, who is not Gozer by Znut, because he says that the woman is Mitapechet, and ensures she does not become impregnated. Ketel Amrather Kaman, by Nusa Umifuta, that we just saw in the Braita, about Anusa Mifuta, that Rabbi Yossi says she doesn't have to wait. On the other hand, Shmuel believes that Anusa Mifuta does have to wait. Aval Bigyoret Lugazar Znut, Shibinachrit Mishum Nisuin, Tibinachrit, Dafil Goriyoret Nisua Kem, the Detal Yugure, Mitapechet Nami. There's no reason to be gozer with regards to a znut by a gioret, because the ikar nisuin, if she just regularly married, she would stop becoming impregnated in order to ensure that when she converts, that the child, we have a clear definition of when this child was conceived, whether before or after the conversion. So if in nisuin she does that, certainly in the case of znut, she would do that. So he agrees with Rabbi Yossi with regards to a gioret, that there's no gzerah, that's ben be nisuin, ben be znut. But he disagrees by an Israelit, that by Nisuin, everybody agrees 3 months. By Znut, Rabbi Yossi says no 3 month waiting. On the other hand, Shmuel disagrees on that point and says you do wait the 3 months because he's Gozer Znut out to Nisuin. Or you could argue the same sheet as Rashi, but just the factor that's making us be Gozer here is by the case of Anusa Mifuta, which is something that's more Shchiach, versus a Gioret, where it's less Shchiach. The Ravid, on the other hand, says the reason that Shmuel distinguishes between Gioret and Mishuchreret versus a regular case of Znut is because by the case of Gioret and Mishuchreret, there are two Sfeikot that are involved. There's a Sfeik whether she actually had Biyah, and then there's an additional Sfeik, which is if she had Biyah, did she become impregnated? On the other hand, in the case of Anusa Mufuta, there's only one Sfeik that is involved here. That's the Sfeik of, was she impregnated? We know that she was Nivala for sure. The question is she impregnated? So in the case of Anusa Mufuta, there's a lot more reason to be Gozer versus the case of Gioret and Mishuchreret. So therefore, Shmuel says by Gioret and Mishuchreret that we don't have to wait the 3 month period, whereas Anusa Mufuta disagrees and says that we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi because there's only one Safek in that case, and therefore there's much more reason to wait the 3 month period. Well, there is another set of Rishonim, the Rif, the Rambam, who all say that Shmuel Paskin the Gamrik Rabbi Yossi. And that's when he says over here, Chutz mi Gioret Mishuchreret Gedula, that doesn't come to imply that an Anusa Mifuta does need the 3 month waiting period, but rather the opposite way around. Anusa Mifuta is obvious that you don't need the 3 month waiting period because she for sure will make sure that she doesn't become impregnated. She has a huge incentive not to become impregnated from that act, and therefore she will do everything in her power to stop it. Versus the Gioret Mishuchreret, where even though maybe they don't want to become impregnated, nevertheless, they still are not as driven as these other women, and therefore we're choshesh for the possibility that maybe they wouldn't have turned over. Along comes Rabbi Yossi and says, don't worry about that case, and that's what Shmuel is paskin like Rabbi Yossi, to say, even in that case, Rabbi Yossi believes that you don't need that type of havchana. Therefore, the underlying, that's both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir agree that only by Nisua is there a reason to wait 3 months, Rabbi Yehuda goes there by Znut, or the Anusa Mifuta, Otu Nisuin, because of the Chashash, that she was not Mitapcha carefully. There, Rabbi Yossi says, I don't have that Chashash, and therefore, that you don't have to wait the 3 months. But that's pretty obvious, versus a Gioret and Mishuchreret, where there we have other mitigating factors that might not allow us to say that she shouldn't wait the 3 months. And that's what Shmuel comes along to tell us, that Chiddush, that despite the fact he doesn't have to wait the 3 months in that case, in all the cases, and the Psak is like Rabbi Yossi across the board. And now the Gemara finishes up. Ayu Kohanot. Kohanot in Israelit lo. Mishnah seems to say that if there was a Kohanet here, then there's a problem because there was Znut, and she can't return to her husband. But what does it have to do with the wife? It all has to do with the husband. If the husband's a Kohen, then whether his wife is a Kohanet or Israelit, it's problematic. If it's Israel, then it doesn't matter if his wife is a Kohanet or Israelit, it's mutar to return to him. So Gemara says, Ema imayu nishe Kohanim, if they were wives of Kohanim. Nishay Kohanim in, Nishay Israelim lo. If they're wives of the Kohanim, then we have a problem here because Znut would prevent them from taking these women back afterwards if they got exchanged during the wedding, like we had in the case in the Mishnah. Whereas in the case of Israelit, even in the case of Znut, where it's not consensual. In that case, then they're allowed to come back to their husbands. So the distinction is not about the women themselves, but about the husbands. Are you a wife of a Kohen or a wife of Israel? If you're a wife of a Kohen, you cannot return to your husband. If you're a wife in Israel, you can return to your husband. Ba'amar Rav Amram ha-milta amarlan Rav Sheshet ve'hanurinu a'ainin b'matnitin. And he told us this over, and he told us to go look in our Mishnah. He says, we can be medayik from the Mishnah later on, the Masechta and Dafnun Gimel Amud Bet, that this piece of information, that when the woman is allowed to return to her husband in Israel, that doesn't necessarily allow her to marry a Kohen afterwards. Which is, Eshet Yisrael Shenenza, Afo Bishim Muteret the Bala, Psula Likuna. An Eshet Yisrael who was raped or had some sort of znut that was not consensual, even though she's allowed to return to her husband, she's Psula Likuna. She gets the status of a Zona, and she can't return to the Kuna. So then your statement about the Mishnah is incorrect. It's nothing to do with whose wife they are. It's not if they're a wife of a Kohen, then they have a problem. Wife of Israel, they don't have a problem. Even if they're a wife of Israel, even though she can return to her husband, she's still psula de kumuna. So that can't be the explanation of the Mishnah. Amar Rava, Rava offers an alternative explanation of the Mishnah that will make sense in any situation. It's talking about Kohanot. It is talking about women that are Kohanot. And what is the issue in the Mishnah, which is, Hachi gamar, imayu Kohanot nisuot Israel. If these are Bat Kohen, who is married to Israel, then nifsalum enachua de bein ashayu. They are now psulim for the truma to go back to their father's house. A bat kohen who is married but does not have any children, then she is allowed to return to her father's house and eat truma, but as long as she's not classified as a zona. In this case, because of what happened, she is classified as a zona, and therefore if her husband passes away without children, she will not be able to return to her father's house. And that's what the Mishnah meant. Imayu kohanot. If they were kohanot, they can't return to eat truma from their father's house. Whereas Israelim, it doesn't matter because they weren't eating truma beforehand, so it's not relevant to Yisraelim over here. And therefore, we can explain our Mishnah talking about Bat Goen, not talking about the husband being a Goen or the husband being Israel, because there we saw it wasn't true. Even when the husband's a Israel, it still presents a problem for a Goen after the fact. If she's now a Zona, and then her husband passes away, she still can't marry a Goen because of the incident that took place. Now, why, if she is a Zona, she cannot return to her father's house in order to eat truma? That Rashi and Tosafot here have a major machloket as to what the source in the psukim is that a woman who is mizana is prevented then from or restricted then in consuming the truma. Rashi says it comes out of the pasuk of bat kohen ki tehiye le'ish zar, and then based on the series of limudim, he says that even includes someone who is a zona or has a relationship with someone who has a chiyuv kreitot. On the other hand, the Ri says that psula min kunam mitam tuma. He learns that the word tuma from the cases of sota, that she is now a tmeya. Since she's a tmeya, she cannot participate in the truma. Okay, with that we complete the third parak. Hadron alach arba achin. Now we begin the fourth parak, which is acholitz leyivimto v'nimtzeit meuberet. The case here where he performs chalitza with his yivama, and then after the fact they find out that she is pregnant. So there is a chiddush here in the fact that he only found out after the fact. Nevertheless, we're going to see, Bizman Shavlad Shokayama, if the child that is born out of this Yibum is a viable child, out of this pregnancy is a viable child, then who mutar bikrovotav, he mutarit bikrovav. They are both allowed to then marry each other's krovim, because they never really had a relationship. The Yibum was done by mistake, because his brother did have a child, and since his brother had a child, he wasn't supposed to perform chalitza. So that's the chiddush over here. Even though when they performed chalitza, it looked like a completely good chalitza because it wasn't clear that she was pregnant. Nevertheless, if we find out that she had a viable child afterwards, then the whole thing is undone and they are mutarim in the relatives of each other. Velo pasla min hakuna, and she's also not psula min hakuna because here he didn't really perform chalitza that was necessary with her. Ain of lad shokayama. On the other hand, if the baby was not viable, she miscarried or the baby did not survive, who asur b'krovotav, yasura b'krovav. They are both asur in each other's krovim. Upaslam in ekuna. And now she is psulam in ekuna because he performed chalitza with her. So now the chalitza was efficacious. Since it worked, now you have a problem of a chalutza marrying someone who is a kohen. And you also have a separate issue, which is now anybody who does chalitza, also you are asur in the relatives of both parties. Hakoneset yimdo. So on the other hand, instead of doing chalitza, in this case, he performed Yibum with his Yivama. And then again, he finds out that she's pregnant. and then she gives birth. Mizman shavla shel kayama, if she gives birth to a viable baby, yotzi, then he has to be motzi, or he has to divorce her. V'chayavim b'kurban, and each one of them has to bring a kurban over here, because a kurban chatat. They got involved in an iser of eshet ach. Yes, it was unintentional. Yes, they did make a mistake. But because of that mistake, they now violated b'shogeg and iser karet. So they have to bring a kurban chatat, each one of them. V'vein vlad shel kayama. On the other hand, if the baby is not viable, then yikayim. He can keep this woman as his wife because they did a proper yibum. Safek ben tisha l'rishon, safek ben shiva l'acharon. If there's a safek between whether this baby was 9 months from the husband or 7 months from the second party here who married her, yotzi. Then he has to divorce her, vavlad kasher. And the baby is kasher mimanovshach. Because even if he was born from the first party, from the first husband that she had, that was a kosher marriage. Even if it's born from the second husband over here, that's also a kosher marriage, because even in a case, let's assume it's not Yibum, and they didn't wait in between, both husbands are kosher husbands, it's just a question of whose baby they are. On the other case, in the case of Yibum, the same thing is true. If the baby belongs to the first husband, then he's kosher, because he was born out of the first husband. If the baby belongs to the second husband, then they did properly perform Yibum, and the baby is not a mamzer. So in either case, the vlad is beseder. The only question is about the status of this marriage. And we see over here that they have to divorce. V'chayavim ba'asham taloi. They have to bring in asham taloi. Asham taloi is brought in a case where you have a safek violation of an isur karet. So you can't bring a chatat because you're besafek. The asham taloi is what you bring in that instance. Over here we have a safek. We're not sure if he improperly performed yibum or he properly performed yibum, because we don't know who the baby belongs to. So since it's a safek violation of an Easter karet, we tell him to bring an asham taloi in that instance. Itmar. So now we have a memra. Chuleitz limeuberet vehipila. Person who does chalitza with a woman who is pregnant, and then she miscarries. Rabbi Yochanan amar ina tzricha chalitza min achim, that she does not require another chalitza, because the first chalitza was kshera. Rish Lakish amar tzricha chalitza min achim. On the other hand, Rish Lakish says the first chalitza was not a good chalitza, and she requires chalitza now from the other brothers. You look in Tosafot when he says tzricha chalitza min achim, he says lav davka min achim. It's not literally from the brothers. It just means that any of the brothers or the original chuleitz can perform chalitza over here. It's not telling you that only the other brothers can perform the chalitza over here. Whereas there are other rishonim who believe that it has to be done by all the brothers over here. Since the first chalitza turns out to be a chalitza psula, but she's not completely released from the brothers, we go back to that sugi that we saw earlier in the Masechta, that when you have a chalitza psula, then you need all the brothers to participate. And that's what it means, chalitza min achim, that she has to get a chalitza from all the remaining brothers, which is the sheet of the Ramban, that she requires chalitza from all the different parties over here. And now, what her status vis-a-vis the other brothers is also questionable, meaning that this guy who performed this chalitza psula according to Reish Lakish, is that just prevent him from performing Yibum going forward, or does it also affect the other brothers? It's because he took some sort of action, even though it was an action that was psula, that ruins it for everyone, which is the position of the Geonim. On the other hand, many of the Rishonim believe that in this case, it's only the person who performed Chalitza originally who's Pasul, but the other Achim, the other brothers, are permitted to perform Yibum with her because they did not get involved in this Chalitza psula up front, and the other brother can't ruin it for them just through this chalitza psula, which was not at a time that it was effective. So now the Gemara asks, what is this machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about? So Rabbi Yochanan amar, ein tzricha chalitza min achim, chalitzat mu'beret shma chalitza, ubiat mu'beret shma biya. Chalitza performed with a woman who's pregnant, and yibum performed with a woman who's pregnant, is a good biya, is a good yibum, and is a good chalitza, assuming that something went wrong with the pregnancy. If in the end she gives birth to a viable baby, then it's clear that there's a problem with it, and even Rabbi Yochanan would agree. Mishlakish amar, tzricha chalitza min achim. Why? Because chalitzat meuberet lo shma chalitza. Performing chalitza with a woman who's pregnant is not an effective chalitza. Biat meuberet lo shma biat. And having biat with a meuberet, a woman who's pregnant, does not consummate the yibum over here. But my kemifligate, what is this machloki between Rabbi Yochanan and Mishlakish over here? Some say it's derivative of a limud in the psukim, and some say that it's a derivative of a logical argument. Now, really, the order of the Gemara should be now, and then because that was the order that they gave him before. We'll just follow the order that's printed in the Gemara, but you should know that it's not consistent with the header that was given here. Rabbi Yochanan Savar. Some say it's a logical argument, because Rabbi Yochanan believes, If Eliyahu comes and tells us now that this woman who is pregnant is going to miscarry, then wouldn't she require Yibum and Chalitza at this moment? Because we know for sure that this is not going to be a viable baby. Hashanami Tigla Milta Lemafreya. So too in this case, okay, we don't have Eliyahu V to tell us right now. But we can retroactively understand that when she miscarried at the time that he performed these acts, they were necessary acts, and therefore they take hold. We don't say retroactively that we go back and make a determination retroactively. Tosafot right away jumps on this, and what it says, what do you mean we don't do things retroactively? Reish Lakish all over Shas has things that are retroactive and take effect. So he says that this type of retroactive is different than other issues, and Tosafot brings this up in a number of places, this distinction in Limafreya, which is the Hocha Einze Safek Ra'ui Leitbarer Achshav, that the Safek here is not something that can be determined immediately. Shev Sharle Da'at Tidot, because nobody knows the future. Of a Hotam, in the other cases of the Mafreya, Ain't Sarich Le'da'at Elamashi Be'oto Sha'a. You just need to know what happened at that moment. So what you have is different cases of retroactive. In certain cases of retroactive, the information is known today, it's just not known to us. So we need more time in order to get the information collected that will give us the perspective on what happened at that moment. On the other hand, there's certain cases where only in the future will the information that you need be given. This is one of those cases. Over here, you will not know until the future whether she's going to miscarry. So right now, their information is not available. It's only later on, once she miscarries, that we know retroactively that there was something that happened. That we do not say. On the other hand, when it's a case where the information is available now, just not available to us, and later on we get the information, and through that we can make a retroactive decision, there Reish Lakish would agree that Lemafreya works. There are others that make distinctions between Dinim Derabonon, where we use Lemafreya. Here it's a Din Doraita, so therefore we won't use Lemafreya. And in this way, they distinguish between cases of Mafreya where Reish Lakish would agree versus the case over here where he disagrees. V'ibayitei makro. And some say that it's a machloket about the interpretation of the pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan Zavar Ubein Enlo Amar Rachmana says they don't have a child. V'aleidei. He doesn't have a child over here. So in the end, when she miscarries, that's what the pasuk says. If he doesn't have a child, then Chalitza and Yibum need to be performed. Reish Lakish Zavar Vein Enlo Ayin Alov. You have to check into it, see what's going on right now. That means that if there's any safek at this time, because she's pregnant, then that's not called bnei lo, because ayin alav, you don't have an answer now. Only once you get the answer will the chalitza and yibum be effective. Eitvei Rabbi Yochanan, the Reish Lakish, so Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish's position. Ein havlad shel kayama, our Mishnah, where it says if the vlad is not a viable vlad, hu asur bekrovotav, yasura bekrovav. They are both asur in each other's relatives. Upaslamin ekuna, and it ruins the kuna verb. Bishlam alididi, according to me, the amina chalitzat muberet shma chalitza, that a chalitza done with a pregnant woman is effective, mishum hachi paslo. That's why she's psula de kuna. That's why all this is going on. Elo di dacht amart chalitza muberet lo shma chalitza, that you say that a chalitza is not effective when she's pregnant, am I paslamin kuna? Why is she asur me kuna? Samalemi de rabbonon uluchum rebaalma, en ochanami, she really is not psula de kuna, and technically maybe she wasn't even going to be asur bekrovotav. But nevertheless, the Chumra, it's a din d'rabbanan that do with the Chumra to say that because they did perform Chalitza, even though it wasn't effective, but because it looks like there was Chalitza performed here, that's enough of a reason to say that they should be asurim to each other's relatives and that she would not be permitted to marry a Kohen in this case. Now, in the case where it's a Vlad Shel Kayama, where the baby is a good Vlad, there Reish Lakish is not gozer, and we don't say the Chumra because there you have the baby that's Mochiach, the child who's standing there. So there you're not going to have to make a Chumra derabonon because the information you need is right there. She has a son. So we know for sure that whatever was done beforehand was not effective. Ikedamre, Etevei, Reish Lakish, the Rabbi Yochanan. Some have this, the reverse, that Reish Lakish actually challenges Rabbi Yochanan from the same statement in the Mishnah. Ein avlad shel kayama hu asur bekrovotav, yasur bekrovav, upaslamin ekuna. Bishlam adididi damina chalitza meuber lo shma chalitza. Works well according to me who says that chalitza is not effective when it's done with a pregnant woman. That's why she's psula de kuna, because it's a chumra. And it doesn't say explicitly she doesn't need chalitza from the other brothers. According to you, should say she doesn't require another chalitza. According to Reish Lakish, she does require another chalitza. So all it says here is she's psula min kuna because of the problem that she's actually going to actually require now another chalitza over here. But for you, why doesn't the Mishnah just say, you don't need anything else now? Ain't it Tzricha Chalitza? You're right. It could have said that. Because the Mishnah in the beginning says lo pasla min ikuna, tananami pasla. Then if it also says pasla min ikuna, meaning in the Reisha case where we find out that it's a vlad shel kayama, over there it says lo pasla min ikuna. Therefore, the latter half to keep parallel structure in the Mishnah also says that it was pasla min ikuna. But in Ochanami, she also does not need another chalitza in this case. Even though the Mishnah could have written that she doesn't need another chalitza, it followed a parallel structure rather than to give us that din. Eitavei Rabbi Yochanan and the Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish from another part of our Mishnah. In a vlad shel kayama, if the case where the vlad is not a viable entity, yikayim, then he can, if they performed yibum, they can stay together. According to me, where I say that an action with a pregnant woman who in the end miscarries is a good action, that's why he keeps her as his wife now, because they already performed yibum, and now he can keep her as his wife. But according to you, who says that chalitza with a pregnant woman or bia with a migrant woman has no impact, then yakzor viv ol vikayemi baile. Then the Mishnah say that he has to perform yibum again. He has to be boel her, and then he can keep her as a wife, but he has to do the action of yibum again. So Gemara says, "Ma yikayim." How's Reish Lakish going to explain it? What does yikayim mean? Yakzor viol v'yikayim. That's the code word. The word yikayim means he should go back, be boel her, and then keep her as a wife. Delo sagi b'lav hochi, because without that, you're not going to be able to stay with her. Ikadamre. Some say that the question was flipped on to Rabbi Yochanan. That Reish Lakish, Eitvei Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Ain't a vlad shel kayama. If it's not a viable baby, yikayim. Then you're allowed to stay together. The yibum was an effective yibum. Bishlam adidimi amina chalitza muber lo shma chalitza biat muber lo shma bi'ah hainu duktani yikayim. That's why it says yikayim, that he has to do some sort of action to keep her, which is yachzor v'yivol v'yikayim delo sagi v'lavachi, because without that he can't stay together. Elididach ratza yotzi ratza yikayim. At that point, he can make a decision. He doesn't have to do any bia again. He doesn't have to do anything to keep her. He can either give her a get, or he can keep her as a wife. Why does only yikayim? Why is only one option to keep her? Maybe he can divorce her now. He has all the options open to him, because the first bia that he had was a good biyibum. That means he's married to her already. At this point, he can make a decision. Does he want to divorce? He wants to keep her. All options are open to him. For me, Reish Lakish, there's only one option. He has to do something now, because she's still in limbo, because whatever he did while she was pregnant had no impact. Where it says, I did the Tana Reisha Yotzi, Tana Nami Seifa Yikayim, in Ochanami, but here again, parallel structure in the Mishnah. Mishnah says Yotzi, in the case where we find out that it's a Vlad Shel Kayama, where we find out that it was a viable entity, he has to divorce her. Then in the second part, it says Yikayim as the opposite side of that. But in Ochanami, he can do whatever he wants. He can give her a get, he can do as he pleases at that time. Okay, we're going to stop here, 10 lines up from the bottom of Lamed Hei Amud Bet.